So who wants a temple in Jerusalem? Who wants one now? What would you do with it? What would you do with it? If Yeshua? That doesn't mean he's coming back. He's coming back soon. I was going to give you a sermon today from the Torah portion, but, you know, because of the events of the world, I thought, nah, there's too much happening. Do you know that people are running out of gas? I mean, literally, they're actually abandoning their cars on the highways and roads because they run out of gas because they don't have any money to put gas in their tanks because gas has costed over $4 a gallon in the United States, which is not really a lot of money when you compare it to, like, Germany, which is $9 a gallon, or Israel, which is $8 a gallon, $10 a gallon. You know, we've had it pretty easy on gas, but we're not used to paying that kind of money for gas. And at the same time, the economy's going in the drink. People are losing their houses. They're foreclosing on their houses. The world is falling apart. Weather-wise, I think we've had a rough year. Tornadoes and earthquakes and snowstorms and rainstorms and floods all over the world. You know what these are signs of? Amen. Yeah, you know, but you know, in 1887, Krakatoa exploded, the volcano east of Java, and it was a huger tsunami than we had in 2004, and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were killed when Krakatoa exploded, and you could see the explosion almost a couple thousand miles away. It just went on for days, and the sky was black and everything, and we've had earthquakes of great magnitudes. We get an 8 or a 9 earthquake, you know, almost every month somewhere. A lot of them are in isolated areas. Nowadays, we've kind of moved into those areas and settled, and so people are killed more now because the earthquakes are hitting populated areas. So I don't know if that's a sign of the end times or not. Jesus said in Matthew 24, there will be earthquakes and wars and rumors of war. Well, we certainly have wars. The United States is fighting 3 or 4 wars right now, and Israel is always ready for a war, and there's rumors of war in Israel every day, and there's wars in other countries all over the world. So we certainly have what looks like the end times. We have a whole bunch of presidents of the United States, starting with probably Eisenhower and Kennedy and all the way through to the current president, who've tried to sell out Israel to the Arabs. You know, it's not just him, who's the guy in the office now, Obama, but the guy before him, even though he liked Israel, had a roadmap to peace that he planned, and his idea was that they would return to the 67 borders. And the guy before him, what was his name, Clinton? He said, you know, Israel should return to its 67 borders. And they said that all the way back to the year 1967. Every president after that said Israel should return to its 67 borders, and then we'll have peace in the Middle East. Well, guess what? The Arabs, they don't want peace in the Middle East. It says on the PLO website that their goal is to annihilate Israel, to march them into the sea, to get rid of the Saturday people first, and then get rid of the Sunday people. Now, they're Friday people. You know, so they're not going to kill themselves. And it's going to be a lot of days of the week before you get to Friday, from if you start with Saturday. No, they want to get rid of the Jews first, and then the Gentiles. So why are we being so nice to them? Well, it comes down to economics, doesn't it? What do we need more than anything else in the world? Oil. Oil, oil. Until we come up with some alternate method of using another fuel of some sort, or burning garbage, or burning corn more, you know, we're going to be dependent on oil. And at the same time, we have these forces in the United States that are saying we shouldn't drill here because we need to be green. And we need to keep our environment nice, so we shouldn't drill for oil, so we should go to foreign countries and buy their oil. And what does that do? We become dependent upon them. and then our whole foreign policy becomes dependent upon them. But you know, I read the Bible a couple times, and the last thing I read was that I know the end of the story. And it says that Yeshua is coming back.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he's coming back, and he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to fight against all the nations of the world. Now, when he says he's going to, all the nations of the world, it says in Zechariah chapter 14, come up against one nation. What does that mean? That includes every nation that exists in the world, right? Except for one, and that one is Israel. Now, I just happen to be Jewish. It puts me in a peculiar position because I'm here in, where am I? Omaha, Nebraska. United States of America. I'm an outcast from my own country because I wasn't born there. But it's incumbent upon me as a Jew to move there, to make Aliyah. But I don't feel like I can do that right now. So I'm here. But what's going to happen to me if this nation turns against Israel? What are they going to do to me if I'm still here? Well, what did they do in Germany? They march you into a little gas chamber. They're probably going to do that to me here in Omaha, maybe Bellevue. I don't know where they're going to set it up, but there's going to be gas chambers or whatever it is they're going to use to get rid of people. Huh? BP stations. All right. No, I'm not trying to be funny about this. I'm trapped. You're not. You're Gentiles, a lot of you. You could say, well, I don't know him. You know, when they start coming, you could say, well, yeah, I used to go there, but, you know, I was just trying to figure out what they were doing. There's a guy who owns hundreds of radio stations all around the world. You know what? He's a self-taught Bible scholar who used to be a civil engineer. And he came out with an idea that today is the end of the world for people who are going to be raptured. Now, that's only like 2%, he said. So it's not a lot, so 2% of this group isn't very much. But he said 2% of the population of the world is going to disappear today in the rapture. They're going to go up to heaven to be with God. Well, that's not where they're going to be, but that's what he thinks. Now, this guy has got millions of dollars. He owns all these radio stations. He got shows on all these stations. He goes around and he can talk on the airways all he wants, and he can get lots of support. I only get 20 minutes a week here. You know, I don't have his resources, so I can't go on TV and argue with him about how idiotic he is. I can't go on TV and argue with the President of the United States because that would be called sedition anyway, but I can't argue with how idiotic his statement was. Now, I can't go on TV and argue with all these people. People like Glenn Beck can do that because he's got money. We don't have money, so we have to sit back and shut up. But we read the end of the book. We're smarter than they are. Don't you think you're smarter than they are?
Amen.
Amen. We know what's going to happen. We have lined ourselves up with the right side. The good guys wear white hats, right? Is that how it works in those little Western things? And they always wear black hats, the bad guys. And the good guy never loses his hat in the fight. The hat is always on his head at the end of the Western. Yep. John Wayne never lost his hat. Yeah, well, that's the side we should be on. And we are, because we're with Israel. The problem is, Israel is just a small country in the Middle East. Not any bigger than the size of New Jersey. Now they're trying to cut it in half. And all the nations of the world are going to gang up on it. Don't you think, since we know the end of the story, that there's going to be a supernatural protection about Israel? So what are we worried about? Nothing. We're worried about what's going to happen in the world, yeah. But those events are going to happen. In order for the end times to come, those events have to happen. So why get upset about them when you hear them on the radio? All I heard yesterday was people upset. Even rabbis on my own forum, all upset about the president. Well, he's not the first president that said that. All of the presidents since 1967 said that. The only thing he did was he took away some of Israel's bargaining chips when they sit down at the peace table. So now they have to sit down at the peace table already at a loss. You know, what are they going to give up next? Because you start from somewhere and you work down to something. Well, they're starting from the end. Where are they going to work down to? Well, we'll give you the other 9 miles and we'll just go swimming in the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, that's all that's left, right? 9 miles separates the Mediterranean Sea from the mountains of Israel, which are supposed to go back to the Arabs. The Golan Heights are supposed to go back to the Arabs. That's all the high places. I don't know how many military wars you've ever been in, but you always know you never give up the high ground, you know? And 9 miles, a Katyusha rocket has got a range of 50 miles or more, right? I don't know. They have rockets that can reach from Lebanon to Tel Aviv, maybe 100 miles. So 9 miles, gee, you could sit there on the top of the mountain with a handheld missile launcher, because you can put them on your shoulder nowadays. And there's Ben-Gurion Airport. Shoot down all the planes that are there. I mean, what kind of security is that? But that's not Israel's security, is it? What is Israel's security? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I have given you this land forever. And I will keep my covenant with you. Was he saying that to the Arabs? No, he kicked Ishmael out, didn't he? He said he would bless Ishmael. And the Arabs come from Ishmael. He said he would bless them and give them lots of stuff. But he didn't say, I'm going to give you the land forever. He said that to the Jewish people, my people. And yeah, I'm stuck in Omaha, but my people are there in the land. And they are not going anywhere. And all the nations of the world are going to come down on them in Zechariah at the end of time. We were just studying that on Wednesday in our Bible study, weren't we? And we decided that that's not going to be a good time because Jesus, Yeshua, is going to come back and he's going to take care of them. What did it say in there? We were describing it. He was going to rip out their eyes and their sockets, and they were going to melt, like their bodies were going to melt in place, like you saw at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's what Yeshua was going to do to these dudes. And he was going to cause so much confusion. You ever notice in the Bible, every time an army comes and attacks Jerusalem and they lay siege to it, God causes confusion in the army, and they end up killing each other. Happened to the Babylonians, happened to the Assyrians, and it's going to happen to those, I don't know what you would call them, end timers. They're all going to fight each other. Don't the nations get along now? They're fighting each other now. I mean, why can't we all be friends? Because you got oil and I don't, and I want your oil. Yeah, so where does that leave us? Where does that leave you? You're my friends. You're my brothers and sisters. You know the same things I know. You agree with the things I know. You all know that you're not going to be raptured at 6 o'clock on Q Street tonight. All of you, some of you don't maybe think you are, but you know I was doing that as a joke this morning, but it's not a joke. People believe that. They send money to that guy. He had bulletin boards all over the world. Every town, hundreds of cities had these bulletin boards. How much does a bulletin board cost? I wanted to rent one in Omaha saying, Yeshua is Jewish. That's all I wanted to say on $8,000 for 1 month. I said, well, let me see. Laura and Al need some help. Yeah, I was going to call Lauren because he works at Office Depot and they could have wrote the letters anyway. Yeah, I know you wouldn't pay for it either. No, I mean, it's cost a lot of money just to put up a bulletin board. And this guy's got hundreds of them all over the world. And he's got trucks. He had these huge trucks I saw rolling around New York City. The end of the world is May 21st. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean you can repent on May 20th and get in on the end of the world on May 21st if only 2% of the people are going? You could be one of them. Is that what it means? What was he trying to say? I have no idea, except Jews weren't allowed because his dates were all off. He didn't use a Hebrew calendar to come up with May 21st. It has no bearing on anything that I could compute in Jewish world, and you too. So what was the guy's point? And what's he going to do tomorrow? Oh, let's go to Perkins and eat some breakfast since we're still here. Well, he failed once in 1994. He predicted it. And people are still sending him money and still following him and still believing in him. And here it is, 2011. I know some people like that. I know some people. I always told everybody in my classes there are three kinds of prophets in the world. There's an anointed prophet like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Malachi. Those are anointed prophets. Then there's false prophets. They come out and they say something and it doesn't come true. So that means they're done. They are no longer an anointed prophet. And then nowadays we have a third kind of prophet. It's called a non-prophet. And they go out and they get a 501c3 from the IRS. And they go up on TV or radio and they tell you to send money because the end of the world is coming, or that Prince Charles is the Antichrist, or that the Beatles are making a comeback. What? That's what they do. Well, those guys are all over the airwaves. And this guy, I think, is one of them. I'm not saying he is. He may be right, and then I'm screwed. I mean, I may have to go to Perkins tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen, but if he's right, then y'all going to be sitting up there for 7 years eating pork chops. While Israel undergoes tribulation here on earth. And I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, why would God make us his chosen people? Chosen for what? Chosen for all the heartaches and pains and sores? And, you know, chosen for all the curses of the Old Testament? Well, the church took out all the blessings, so all we got left is the curses. So that would be true to form from his standpoint. But from my standpoint, it's not true. Because he's got a different reality. You see, the church is a false thing to me. Because in 325 AD, it broke its roots from the Jewish people. We don't want to be Jewish anymore and be persecuted and have to pay tax to the Roman government, so we'll compromise with your institutions and we'll create all these new holidays and new days to worship, and we will be something different. You ever buy a Christmas tree? What do you do with a Christmas tree? You buy it, you cut it off from the forest that it's growing in. You put it on the top of your car. You drive it home. You stick it in a bucket of water in your living room. You decorate it. It's beautiful and frilly and has all these wonderful things, but what's going to happen to it in 10 days? It's going to be dried out and dead. And that, my friends, is where the church is today. Dried out and dead. You're in a renaissance. You are children of the renaissance because you know the truth. You know that Yeshua is coming back and he's going to set you free. He's going to take us and he's not going to rapture us up to heaven. That's not the rapture. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that in the twinkling of the eye we shall meet him in the clouds and we shall be changed. And then we're going to come back with him and land. Because it says in Zechariah, he's going to land in Israel. And he's going to go fight that army and turn them into the raiders of the lost ark. And then he is going to build a new Jerusalem. And it's going to come down out of heaven for all of us to live. You're not going to live in heaven. In heaven, there is no beer. because it'll all be at Jerusalem. It'll be right here. You've sang that song 100 times, Gordon. 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. If one of them should happen to fall, 98 bottles of beer. Yeah, the wall is going to be Jerusalem, though, because nobody's going to be home up there. God wants to live with us. He doesn't want us to move in with him. I had to put up with a dog last week in my house. I had a dog sit this dog. I was so glad to see the dog leave because the dog, when he was here, left stuff for me on the carpet. And, you know, you got to watch your step. Do you think God wants neighbors like that coming into his house and messing it up? No, he wants to live here with you. I love going to see the dog, but I don't want to take the dog home with me. God wants to come back to Jerusalem and live. He came down at Mount Sinai in the form of a Torah. He came down to Abraham in the form of three angels. He came down later on as a man named Yeshua to live with us. Because God, he asked us to build a temple because he and his Shekinah glory came down. Because God wants to dwell with us. He doesn't want us to dwell with him. He wants to dwell with us because he loves us so much that he wants to be with us. And so he's going to bring down a whole new city for us out of the heavens. It's going to come down to New Jerusalem, and it's going to be 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles tall. Man, that's bigger than Omaha. It's bigger than New York City. Actually, you could drive from Omaha to New York City, and that's only 1,200 miles. So if you wanted to go to the New Jerusalem, you'd have to drive from like Phoenix to New York. That would be the length of it and the width and the height. You think there's enough room in there for some of us? I know a lot of you like a lot of room, but man, I just hope I don't have to cut as much grass as I do now. Teddy knows what I'm talking about. Anybody's been to my house. But God is coming back, and he's going to want us to dwell with him. And he wants us to dwell with him for 1,000 years. And then he wants us to dwell with him forever. How many of you are into that? So keep your eye on the sky. Keep the faith. And don't let this stuff upset you, because it's all part of God's unfolding plan for the future of all of us. And so I guess that's what I wanted to say today. I don't know if I said it right, but remember, I'm a guy from Brooklyn, and I don't know how to talk, so there you go.